chorus of one, repeat after me. We lost the key of sight, now blind, we fear in flight. We are far from love, but silence is golden. Please observe.
Trick Track with Setrack, April 26. Another year has gone by, another April 24 has passed us, and we're still here, we're still fighting, we're still asking for justice. The day will come, I believe firmly in that, that we will see Turkey accepting the Armenian genocide, just like the Germans did. Բիդիկա այդ օրը այդ հույսով գաբրիմ այդ հույսով գբայքարին կամեն օր ամեն արդու ամեն դարի. But one thing I realized this year more than ever, the unity that we showed, whether that was in Armenia, that was in Europe, North America, South America, we were all united, folks, and it was amazing, really, really amazing to see, from children to youth to adults to the elderly. I don't know if you guys seen the picture that I had posted of this old lady, this mamik, that she was on a wheelchair in Hollywood, actually, and she had gone to the protest. That was just chilling. That was just amazing. The picture just speaks for itself. That's why tonight we're going to be speaking again about April 24 and the Armenian Genocide, how to raise awareness. And I have a very good friend of mine, a dear friend, a longtime friend, Arakha Chadurian, who is the English editor of the Asparez from Los Angeles. He'll be joining us via phone. Originally, I had planned this conversation to take place next week because I was supposed to have a Turkish professor, Ugur Ungor, who has studied in North America, and right now he's a professor in Amsterdam, actually. He's in the States. He has a few lectures, and the timing just didn't work out for us to talk tonight. However, we will bring you that next week, next Thursday, live. Hopefully you could join us. It's going to be an interesting conversation. I figured if I can get a Turkish person, Turkish scholar, professor, who has studied the history and talks to us about it, It will give us a different perspective. A lot was said this week again, whether how we raise awareness. Some people were against raising flags. Շատ հայկական տրոշակներով ցույցի երթանք եւ այլն. Other people, they've even mentioned about the Kardashians, the way they raised awareness, as it being wrong. Well, tonight's topic is not going to be about the Kardashians. It's going to be about us Armenians. We will touch on that. We will speak a bit about it, but we're not. This is not a show about the Kardashians, folks. I've also set up a phone line that you could call in from Los Angeles. I was doing earlier tests. I'm having minor difficulties when two people are on the line, so bear with me on that one. But here's the number, 818-937-0666. Don't call when I'm talking to Ara, please. I will let you guys know when you could call in. Also, if you're in Montreal, you could call 514-992-4307. For the time being, we're going to go listen to a few songs that I've picked for tonight. Hopefully you'll enjoy them, and then we get to talk to Ara.
Yeah. պետական զենսատանա զեհարել ներգինիքյան աս պետական զենսատանա զեհարել ներգինիքյան ներգինիքյան զենքով աղի ուզեն չուզեն ետի դիտան ներգինիքյան զենքով աղի Yo to ti te heli moski shen kavadar turki moski Yo to ti te heli moski shen kavadar turki moski Avar gase vakto de haye anol kuta heli hava Avar gase vakto de haye anol kuta
Okay, folks, we're back. This is Trick Track with Set Track, and I have on the line with me my good friend Ara Khachaturian. Hi, Ara, how are you?
Hi, Seto. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a while I had you on my show, huh? Since I had you.
Yes.
I'm happy. Thank you. Ara, what's going on? How are things in L.A.? As usual, that's the topic we start off with. Tonight's topic, as you are aware, it's about raising awareness regarding the Armenian Genocide. But before we move on to that topic, can you tell us what went on this week in L.A.?
Sure. There was a series of commemorative activities that happened. The main ones, obviously, on April 24th. The first one was at the Montebello Martyrs Monument. There was about 7,000 people who went there, and there were political officials, and the keynote speaker was Israel Charney, who was brought in especially for this program. Now, you're aware that Israel Charney is one of the foremost genocide and Holocaust scholars in the world, and he has, especially in the past several months, written articles in the Jerusalem Post and Haaretz and other international publications urging Israel to recognize the genocide. At the same time, he was also very instrumental last fall when the genocide, when the Israeli Parliament Education Commission had for the first time hearings about the Armenian Genocide, and he was very instrumental in addressing that issue at that hearing.
Okay.
And then there was the annual April 24th protest at the Turkish consulate, and that was also very well attended. Basically people left Montebello and went to the streets, and it was very successful.
Did you see a drop in numbers, or it was more this year
actually,
than ever?
There was an increase in numbers this year on both events, and that was very encouraging. So I don't know what to attribute that to, but I guess there's a sentiment of, since the centennial is coming up in 3 years, the whole issue of engagement and activism takes on a new light. So we have to keep that in mind as well.
Because unfortunately, in Canada, the numbers lack this year. Instead of increasing, it has been decreasing, and this year was like we saw a tremendous decrease in the amount of people that were at the Ottawa part in front of the parliament, and then at the embassy, which was like really shocking. Yeah. Okay. Now, I stated before the show that this is not going to become the topic for the night, but I have to touch base on it because a lot of people were saying it's not right, they should not be doing this, they should not be doing that. It's about the Kardashians and their show, that the show that they had recently where they spoke. I think they spent quite a good amount of time raising awareness about the Armenian genocide, and I believe the next day he was one of the top 10 Google searches.
Yeah, it trended very heavily on Twitter and Google and Facebook and social media, basically.
Okay. And what is your take on that?
My take on that is that obviously none of us has any kind of an ownership of the genocide issue, and these folks are Armenian and addressing the genocide, and certainly they have more of a following than possibly you and I do, and to get the word across to a group of people who are not regularly engaged on the genocide issue is, something that we all need to look into. I mean, I know that, for example, Kim posted on Twitter again about the genocide, and that reached her 2 million followers, and we're talking about millions here. We're not just talking about thousands of people, but we have to keep that
Yeah, neither am I. I mean, what they do in their lives, the way they run it, the way they live, that's their business. But what for me, the interesting part is, like you said, the numbers are there. They're raising awareness. She just tweeted, and I believe it was like 14.5 million followers that she has.
I don't know how many she has, but it's a significant number. So, you know, the numbers are important, and basically it's about engaging an audience that is not usually engaged in, you know, or does not even know about the genocide. And if they're able to teach people about that, that is always a, you know, good thing.
Yeah, because that's the point that a lot of people have been missing is, okay, I'm Armenian, and I have all the accounts you can imagine, social media-wise, and when most of my followers or my listeners are Armenian. You know, here I am posting stuff about the genocide to Armenians, which they already know. I do have, like, non-Armenian friends, and they do follow, and they do listen, and they honor our victims as well. But it's not the same effect as when these people do it. Which brings us...
You know, this past weekend, there was also another event which was very unique, and it was hosted at the Hammer Museum at UCLA, which was a conversation with Ado Megoyan and Serge Tankian. One thing that Ado Megoyan brought up in the discussion is that, for example, what Serge has done through his music and through his performances, he's engaged a group of a whole demographic of people that would not usually be aware of the genocide. And he said he attended one of his concerts in, I believe, Montreal it was, and was looking around and seeing people who are not Armenian at all when Serge was playing the song Pluck from his first album. There was a reaction from non-Armenians, and they were becoming aware. So I think the whole awareness issue is very important, and artists or celebrities, in the case of the Kardashian, using that to make people aware is very important. The same thing happened last year when April 24th fell on Easter, and there was this national day of prayer issue. Again, Kim Kardashian tweeted and was able to get the word out. And this is an activity that we work on here in ANC offices, and, for example, Ostar is to get the word out. And these people with, you know, one tweet are reaching more people than we can, and kind of giving them an action item to do. And I don't see that there's anything wrong with that, per se.
Okay. Now, enough about the Kardashians. Let's get back to our business.
Yeah, we're done.
When we say raise awareness, what shall we understand? What is raising awareness, really?
Well, there are different types of ways that one can raise awareness. I mean, there's certainly awareness on a, you know, simply Armenian front. And there's also raising awareness outside of our own Armenian confines. Now, there is a need to raise awareness within the Armenian community, because although this whole issue of the genocide is continuously kind of embedded in us as a nature, but you are getting a new generation coming who does not have the grandparents that, for example, you and I did, who sat us down and told us their, you know, eyewitness accounts or their personal experiences. So there's a whole new generation that's growing up without that first-person account. And that has certainly ingrained something in all of us when I'm hearing the story about my grandfather, who, you know, was a survivor of the genocide, fled Erzurum, went to Armenia, fought in the 1918 independence battle, and they were players and key parts of our history. The new generation does not have that, and it's important for us to continuously keep addressing these things and imparting these stories to, for example, you have children. If you have, first-person accounts that you have heard about to impart them to your children, so they will be sensitized as to exactly what happened and what it is that this entire issue of the Armenian cause is all about. There's also a second level of, you know, very important issue. Let's say the genocide is recognized tomorrow. For us, there's something beyond the recognition, and that's the issue of reparations, restitution, and all of that. Why is it that we are having these demands? It needs to be part of the education process that we're doing to our community, as well as to a younger generation who is going to basically carry that torch. And as far as obviously the you know, non-Armenian components, it is also important to talk about that outside of our immediate circle, and not just the issue of genocide needs to be recognized, but there is a consequence after the recognition of the genocide, that the issue of genocide is a political issue, and it does have elements that go beyond someone just saying, oh yes, the genocide occurred. And I think with the 100th anniversary coming up in 3 years, I think our community needs to be aware that we need to begin talking about the next steps and what are we doing. In fact, my editorial for April 24th addresses exactly that. And each entity within the Armenian reality has something to do. The Armenian government certainly has a lot to do in this instance, because this issue of recognition is embedded in the Armenian constitution. So those people who are representing the government need to take a more active stance in the whole recognition. Every time there is a resolution here, the Turks get involved with their ambassadors, their consuls, people fly in from Ankara, start doing stuff in Congress, yet our government just sits on the margins, and the huge Armenian community activism takes over and basically takes front and center in that process. It's one thing that, you know, the activists are doing something. It's another when an actual government entity is pushing for something. It sends a different signal.
Okay, I want to talk about what we do before April 24 and what we don't do after. I mean, there's all this hype about April 24, protests, demonstrations, events, commemorative events, and this and that. But yet, Gardes, Abril 24-ka, Gertank Tsuitserun, Gertank Tsernak Nerun, Hiskum Nerun, and that's it. We go home. The next day, it's a brand new day, and it's not forgotten. I can't say it's forgotten. Nobody forgets that. But we don't continue our work. We don't continue our activism.
Personally, I'm in a job that I'm in this 365 days a year. So for me, it just doesn't begin and end with April 24th. But what the community also needs to realize, that whatever it is that they do within the context of high tot, at the end of the day serves the higher goal of our national aspirations, whether it's working within a community organization, whether it is sending your children to Armenian school, or if you're not sending your children to Armenian school, making sure that they are part of some kind of an Armenian reality. So, A, that national identity is there. I mean, we don't need to go and protest every day, but we need to be vigilant because, for example, here there's a campaign that's going on that started by the Turkish consulate that they're, you know, targeting certain Armenians and asking them to come and meet with them to kind of show this whole, like, oh, we're friendly with the Armenians, and that's part of the Turkey's foreign policy. Unfortunately, there are those in the community who feel that, you know, they should go and meet meet with these people. It's a matter of being vigilant that what it is that we're doing exactly at the end of the day and what it is that we're pursuing. And I think just by becoming active in the community and really fully understanding the scope of what we should be doing is very important.
Do you know anybody that actually went and met with those people?
I don't know them personally, but I know that people have been approached and meetings have been held, and yes, it has happened.
Okay, and to what effect or to how the advantages of using social media in our, let's say, awareness and putting up stuff that we do?
I mean, certainly it's important for us to be able to utilize social media tools in engaging our community or informing our community. But then, you know, the social media component is not just simply a universe where, you know, Aspares uses its page to convey certain news to its followers. I think what the community also needs to do is not just sit back and become the recipient of that information, but also begin actively interacting within it. Just like, for example, if your friend posts something on Facebook and you like it or comment on it or whatever, the same thing needs to happen within the context of HiTOT or information that's regarding Armenians. The Turkish and Azeri governments, through their lobbies, are systematically targeting our websites and making sure that people go and comment on those things. There are certain Turks and Azeris who take that same initiative. And in my experience of kind of administering the Aspares website and our Facebook and Twitter accounts, I'm not seeing such an active involvement from the Armenian side. Also monitoring non-Armenian media and looking and seeing what it is that's being written about us and becoming active participants in that. You know, certainly it's something that I'm sure each community can handle within its own context, but I feel like sometimes we're just, you know, viewers of this information and we're not actively engaged. And one of the key elements of social media is that engagement process. It's not just the matter of, oh, I have 1,000 friends. Those thousand friends that each person has an opportunity to extend the reach of the message beyond just that one person. So it's good that we utilize social media to convey the message, but we also need to use those social media tools judiciously and be able to kind of viral those messages out to our own individual networks and followers. That way the word gets spread out, and it's our word that gets spread out. And we're being active in this process rather than passively sitting and listening or absorbing the information.
Yeah, and a lot of times I specify to my listeners, or when I post stuff on Facebook, which I still see the lack of people sharing the news. I don't understand. It's only one button, you know. You hit the like button, two buttons down on the right, there's another one that says share. And they're afraid to share news. I don't know. Maybe they're afraid for Echernin bide lesvi, but you can go back and delete that as long as you share it once.
Yeah, I mean, that sharing component, I mean, there's a scientific element to social media. Each person who has a Facebook account has an average of 150 friends. And we all know that that is a very conservative average, because most people have double that, which means that the potential of one person liking an article and reaching a new audience every day is there. And as you said, it's just a matter of liking it. That's the first and preliminary and most fundamental step. Then comes the second step of actually reading the article, commenting on the article, because you have your own circle of friends, and the reason that they're your friends, they look at what you're saying. So if you're saying something positive, or if you're being analytical about an issue, your circle of friends will have no other choice but to get engaged in that whole thing. Mm-hmm. Just like when you're saying, I went to this place, or I'm listening to such a song, or I'm liking this movie, your friends tend to get more engaged. Like if you put something on your Facebook, because you're my friend, I look at it and say, oh, okay, this is, you know, Seto's doing this, maybe I'll look into it as well. So there is that, it's not just a matter of, oh, we have this, and that's great. It's a matter of how best to utilize that to get our message across. And that is a key engagement tool that you can do. You know, I'm encouraging everyone to go to the Asparit Facebook page, and if you have not liked it yet, go ahead and like it, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at the amount of information that you will get on a daily basis. We don't try to barrage our readers with information, but we do put up whatever is relevant. It's those relevant issues that prompt action more than anything else.
Yeah, I just to go back on something you said, do you really read everything I post?
Yes, because I allot my entire day to read everything you post. No, but I do, aside from the pictures and whatever, but if you do post the link from an article that I have not seen, the potential of me clicking on that link to see what the article is about is much higher because it's coming from a friend.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to share the Asparis page now. You have 7338 likes. Let's see how many people are actually going to go and like it, unless most of my listeners, which I hope they have, because I've been sharing Asparis many, many times before. Let's see how many likes you're going to get by tomorrow morning, okay?
Let's see if we can bring it up to 8,000.
By tomorrow morning?
By tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
why
right.
Not to start?
I can't even increase my likes by 2 by tomorrow morning.
Well, let's challenge the listeners.
Let's do that. I just want to go back on something you said, the monetary aspect of Turkey accepting the genocide. The last week when I was speaking with Carla, this is something that we don't talk about it enough. We don't raise it enough in our meetings or in our communities. Are we, let's say, we put it hypothetically, actually, I put it, and I said, what happens tomorrow if Turkey says, yeah, we committed the genocide, but we're not willing to pay? Are we willing to let go of that part?
Well, no, because the whole reason that we're so hung up, I would say, on the word genocide, and why we always get pissed off that Obama says Medvedev, and there's certain people in the community that are like, oh, that's more than any other president has done. Genocide is a term coined, and it has ramifications. Just like Holocaust has ramifications, and those ramifications include that if you say that I committed genocide, that means you're also willing to do part 2 and 3 and 4, which is reparations and restitution and everything else, just like the German government did when it accepted that it had committed genocide or Holocaust. It did make reparations to people. It did make restitution to the victims. And it continues to do so right now. You see every day when you're reading the newspapers, there's something having to do with European Jews getting their due for what's happened to them. And if it's going on, 60 years later, our claims are not that, out of the ordinary either. We were invaded, our homeland was invaded, and and eventually those people living there were slaughtered in a systematic way. So there needs to be some kind of an element. Now, where it becomes a little bit cloudy is what's been happening here, especially in California, with these life insurance lawsuits. While it is, again, raising awareness in a community that might not usually be aware of it, but this is just a class action lawsuit that involved monetary rewards to claimants who have purchased insurance. So technically, the government of Turkey is not being held responsible, but rather, for example, New York Life or AXA or all the other insurance companies are becoming engaged in this process. The government of Turkey does not get touched in any way or form about this. That's why the movement for return of the churches has more of an impact on the government of Turkey, because it asks the Turkish government to return what it has basically usurped as a result of the genocide and give it back to them. And my colleague who works at the Armenian, who edits the Armenian Weekly, Hacik Muradyan, has a very important thesis about how these properties were essentially stolen and how it was part of the plan of the genocide, which means if you're emptying out a village of its Armenian residents, you are resettling other people in those houses immediately by saying this belongs to the government now. So, and it was that whole resettlement or the taking of the assets was also very much part and parcel of that meticulous plan to rid that area of the Armenians. And we sometimes don't understand that in our daily routine of talking about the genocide, reparation, and whatever, that if I go back to Erzurum, I don't have a claim anymore to my ancestral home. I don't have that because the government has meticulously made it happen that I and my ancestors no longer exist there because they claim that we fled. It was part of the plan. So it's one of the reasons that I think they're being hesitant about accepting the genocide is very simple. It was very easy for Germany to do, I believe, because the reparations and restitution that it provided did not require them to yield any part of their country to anyone else. This is Turkey will have to yield Western Armenia back to the Armenians. That's why it's very difficult for them to say genocide, because they know full well that when they say genocide, it's going to have its legal ramification.
Well, hopefully they will soon.
Yeah, hopefully they will.
Okay.
And I think the critical part is are we as a community, as a nation, and whatnot, prepared for that next step? And hopefully we will be.
Yeah, I'm hoping that in the next few years we start more and more talking about these issues and preparing ourselves of what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. And also tying the other elements that we continue to bring up as part of the Haytat agenda. For example, the whole Gharapagh issue. In 2 weeks, we will be marking the 20th anniversary of the liberation of Shushi, which is one of the most critical turning points, not just in the war in Gharapagh, but in our Armenian reality as a whole. And if the Gharapagh issue is not tied to the genocide, I don't know what else is. The same thing with the self-determination of our people, of our communities in Java, when they're continuously being, and it is a systematic effort by the Georgian government to stifle the Armenian community there. All of those things are chains in one link, links in one chain, we can't say, okay, we're now focusing on the genocide and forgetting about Tarapa or vice versa, because all of these issues are one basically large pie.
Okay. Ara, I don't have anything else to ask you, my friend. I don't know if you want to add anything or make any closing remarks.
Well, I mean, my thing is, it's easy for me to say because my job requires me to be involved. But I think with a little bit, with the minimum of, you know, effort, I think a lot of people can get engaged in this process, because it is really a critical time. I mean, we do say the centennial. The reason that it's critical is because the last of our survivors are dying, and now it's up to us to basically move this whole issue forward, because there's no one else left who has seen it, experienced it, and whatnot. So I think it's very important for us as Armenians to be involved on a daily basis in this process. And by involved, the least one can do is utilize the means that they have, you know, to in their everyday lives to just get informed, basically. And I, again, am asking your, challenging your listeners to go on our Facebook page, Asparas News, and just like us, and they'll be, I think, surprised as to the information that they'll get.
I hope so. Unless all of my listeners, wow, Ara, look at this. We were at 73.38, you're up to 73.49. That means I have 11 listeners. Yoo-hoo!
That's a start.
Yeah. Hey, in a matter of 5 minutes, that's great. Maybe you should start telling them to go like the Trick Track page too. They'll listen
you
to you more. No, man, I'm good. Okay, Ara. It's always a pleasure talking to you, my friend. And hope
Likewise.
To see you soon.
Yes, hopefully.
All right. The whole thing.
All right. Take care.
Yep. See you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, folks. You just heard from Ara Khachaturian. He's the English editor of Asparas. And I'm glad he got 11 votes at least in the span of 2 minutes. Okay, now we're going to continue. I'm going to open the phone lines and hopefully we get some calls. We don't have a lot of time, but whatever we have, we could spare. The phone numbers again from LA, it's 818-937-0666. And in Montreal, it's 514-992-4307. Okay, so much for the phone calls. It's okay. I think God, I said well, spoke well, and we pretty much covered everything. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends we're gonna have a Turkish professor speaking to us about the Armenian genocide. As I told you earlier, his name is Ugur Ungur. Okay, he's a sociology major, PhD, you name it, he's got it, and he's done extensive research on the Armenian genocide. And he joins us next week to talk to us and give us the Turkish perspective of what they see. And actually, he said it openly that yes, the genocide did take place. All right, so we get to talk to him next Thursday, 8 o'clock Montreal time, 5 o'clock Los Angeles, and hopefully you join us and tell your friends. In the meantime, have an amazing weekend. Keep on listening to Trick Track, and hopefully those 11 people that like the Aspares site, they'll go and like Trick Track with Set Track now. Have a good evening, folks. Cheers.
Bankotoman kara batı taşla tut yargı. εθνογή. Εσές να γιούν αραραδί. Μα εθνογή. Εσές να γιούν αραραδί. Αγιά σανί.
Στα βαπορή, γευρό στο μυθί.